like he entered the temple to speak. All of the crowd sat down at his feet. He spoke with such wisdom as they never heard. With amazement they listened as he taught the word.
All of the sudden in burst through the door. A woman was brought and stood near the Lord. The sin she'd committed was not like the rest. Caught in adultery, the penalty death.
As they awaited her sentence with stones in their hands, Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand. He lifted his eyes and he spoke to each one. You without sin, cast the first stone.
In just a few moments, her accusers were gone. With no one around her, she was standing alone. He forgave her her sin, and she went on her way. As she ran through the city, with joy she proclaimed,
just if I had never sinned, just if I was always cleansed, just if I had never wandered
so far from
home, Jesus took all my sin away. He gives new mercies every day, and now I'm living my life justified. Sins
were many and the price was too great. My accusers had gathered, oh, would this be the day? I cried out to Jesus, he came in my stead. He told my accusers, I paid all his debt.
Just if I had never sinned, just if I was always cleansed, just if I had never wandered
so far from home,
Jesus took all my sin away. He gives new mercies every day, and now I'm living my life. Just if I had never sinned, just if I was always cleansed, just if I had never wandered
so far from home,
Jesus took all my sin away. He gives new mercies every day, and now I'm living my life. I am justified.
They've been watching my music lesson videos again. Amen. I appreciate that good song. Amen. One of the dear brothers asked me a while ago, he said, Brother Dallas, he said, last time you were here, did you sing a special? And I said, I promise you, if I sang, it would be special. It wasn't me, amen. I appreciate the music has been a blessing all day long, amen. I certainly have appreciated congregational singing, special music, everything. It's been a blessing. And I want to say to Brother Angel, thank you once again for allowing me to be able to be here. I walked away, Miss Angel. I told Brother Angel this earlier. I walked away from your house and didn't even thank you for that good meal. Amen. So I appreciate that very much. I left the angels definitely all fed up. Amen. I promise you that. So I appreciate that good time of fellowship and the good meal, and just have had good time here preaching today. And Brother Angel asked me earlier, Brother Dallas, did you have liberty? And I said, I did. And I understand. Sometimes I go to places and I have to generate my own liberty. But I like it when that liberty is given, amen. And I always know this, as a guest preacher, I always want to be reminded of this. The reason I have liberty when I stand behind another man's pulpit is because you've got a faithful man of God that stands behind this pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Therefore, it gives guest preachers liberty. So, Brother Angel, thank you once again for opening up your pulpit to me today. I've enjoyed Sunday school and then also the 5 o'clock Timothy Club preaching to the young men. And Brother Andrew, thank you for allowing me to be able to be there. I told him today he made me feel old saying that I preached to him when I was a teenager. And people always try to do the math, especially when I give my testimony, try to figure out how old I am. I'll tell you how old I am. I'm so old, I remember when you could go to a convenience store and you could buy 3 bags of chips, 2 Coca-Colas, and a pack of gum for $1. But you can't do that anymore because there's security cameras everywhere now. Amen. It makes it a little bit harder to do that these days. Amen. But anyway, so that's how old I am. But anyway, I want you to turn your Bibles to James chapter number 4 tonight. James in chapter number 4. Dr. Angel and I were talking about ministry today, and I said it in all honesty, and I said it with a pure heart, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I absolutely love ministry, amen. From the very moment that I got saved by the grace of God, I didn't know. I was looking for something. I didn't know what I was looking for. But I'm thankful that God's not only a saving God, but I'm glad He's also a searching God, amen. I'm glad He was looking for me. And I'm thankful that I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just made my mind up from the very moment that I got saved by the grace of God, to the extent that I once lived for the devil is now to the extent that I'm going to live for God. And my theme song is of my life, the world is behind me, the cross is before me, and I've just decided to follow Jesus. Amen. And so I've been involved in ministry from the very get-go. I got saved a little bit later on in life. My dad was a truck driver for over 40 years and drove 4.5 million accident-free miles for that same company. And my dad, whenever he saw that God was doing a work in my life and I was just being serious, living for the Lord, my dad put me on a Greyhound bus from Memphis, Tennessee to Joplin, Missouri to Truck Driving School USA. And so I got my CDL and I drove a tractor trailer. And I can promise you this, now that I don't drive a tractor trailer on the streets of Memphis, I promise you the streets of Memphis are a lot safer, amen. And so, I immediately got into the bus ministry and I drove a bus route, amen. And that's where Nikita and I met. I worked in junior church. I worked in teen church. I preached there in the teen church there, and I went to the homeless missions and to the jail cells, and I took down a lot of chairs, set up a lot of tables. And I wasn't married at that time when I was a young college student, and so I'd even show up to the ladies' conferences and do whatever I could do. But anyway, so I've been involved in ministry. And just a breakdown of my ministry now, or the ministry that God has us in now. 90% of the time, my travels, I'll fly out on Saturday and I'll preach Sunday through Tuesday revivals. And as soon as I fly back home on Wednesday as early as I can. And as soon as my feet touch the ground on Wednesday, myself and Brother Fugit's youngest son, Jonathan, we go out knocking doors and soul winning and telling folks about the Lord. And then we start a van route where we start picking up about 5 o'clock and picking up folks for our addictions outreach. And then I conduct my addiction outreach at 6. And then we go to church at 7. And then Thursday is a full day of soul winning and visitation. And then Friday I teach in the college. And then I have a few hours off. And then Nikita and I go out on a date. And Saturday it all starts all over again. I absolutely love the ministry, amen, and I want my life to be consumed in the ministry. Tonight, there may be a young man here tonight that has the call of God on their life to preach the Word of God. Perhaps there's a young man that might want to, would have the desire to travel the country in evangelism. Maybe there's a young man that God would place behind a pulpit to pastor a church one day. Maybe there's a young man that may go over to some foreign field and shake up a nation for the cause of Christ. Maybe right now, young man, you're too young to be in the ministry of evangelism or the ministry of the pastorate or the ministry of a missionary. But there's a ministry tonight, young man, that I want to talk to you about that you're never too young to be a part of. Maybe there's a young lady under the sound of my voice tonight that maybe you had the desire to be the church pianist one day. Maybe you had the desire to teach a young girl Sunday school class one day. Maybe you had the desire to marry a preacher one day. Maybe, young lady, right now you're too young to be a part of that ministry. But there's a ministry, young lady, I want to talk to you about tonight that you're never too young to be a part of. I don't say this at all in a belittling way whatsoever. I say it with the utmost respect tonight. I see a lot of gray-haired saints of God here tonight that maybe you don't have the physical capability like you once had to go out and knock doors or run a bus route or do whatever you used to do around the church house. But there's a ministry, dear saint of God, tonight I want to talk to you about that you're never too old to be a part of. And that's the ministry of drawing nigh to God. The ministry of drawing nigh to God. If you find your place in James chapter 4, stand with me, if you would, as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. James in chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And again, Lord, we certainly thank you, Lord, for first loving us. Thank you for saving us. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for the good Spirit of God that has met with us here today. Lord, thank you, Lord, again, for ministering to our hearts with the good singing. And dear God, I ask you, Lord, that you would speak to hearts again, Lord, like you have today. And dear God, I pray, Lord, that every single one of us would go ahead and just make up our mind that we're going to sign up to be a part of this ministry of drawing nigh to God. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I just finished in recent days my studies in the book of James, I was reminded once again that James was not writing this letter to lost sinners, but he was writing it to Christians, a part of that early church. So if I had to put a title on this series of messages in the book of James, I may would have two different titles. The first title would be just back to the basics, or the second title would be Cornerstones for Christianity. We find here in James chapter number 4, he divides the chapter into two different parts. We find, first of all, that James speaks about the defilement of our flesh. You understand, we live in a world today where we'll never see government or hear our school system ever speak about the defilement of our flesh as the source of troubles in our world today. They'll talk about poverty, yes, but they'll never say anything about purity. They'll talk about education, yes, but they'll never say anything about degradation. They'll talk about legislation, but they'll never say anything about lust. But the Word of God here in James tells us that the defilement of our flesh is the source of many troubles today. Look at verse number 1 with me tonight. James starts the chapter by asking a question. He said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Those lusts that war in your members are the evil passions within every single man, woman, boy, and girl. They are desires that are not controlled by God, but they're controlled by the flesh and by Satan. And can I say tonight, dear child of God, it's a good day in every one of our lives when we realize that the flesh's ultimate goal is to
to bring destruction in our life, but the Spirit of God's ultimate goal is to make us more in the image and the likeness of an almighty God. There's two natures that beat within our breast. The one is cursed, the other is blessed. The one I love, the other I hate, but the one I feed will surely dominate. And I don't want to feed to that old man that was headed to hell for 22 years of his life. I want to feed to the new man that's been saved by the grace of God. But I can't do that by feeding upon worldly things and feeding upon carnal things. I must do that by feeding upon the Word of God and having that sincere walk with God every single day of my life. Look at verse number 2. He said, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. My friend, when a person is controlled by evil passions, that person pursues things in an evil manner. And the right way to pursue things is always to ask God for those things. I believe we here in America, and even God's children in America, we have Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33 all backwards. We seek the things that God gives us instead of seeking first the kingdom of God. But Matthew says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And can I say, my friend, everybody always wants to know, well, what are these things that shall be added unto you? According to the context of the scripture, it means clothes on our back. It means shoes on our feet. It means food on our table. But I believe we can take it a step further. It also means joy in your heart to live for and to serve God. I read a little pamphlet not long ago of Charles Finney that wrote a book on Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. And in that book he said this, every other task of the day should be set aside until first of all, this task is taken care of. Can I say, my friend, you and I must find out what it is to walk with the Lord. Look at verse number 3. He said, you ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. In that previous verse, James says, you have not because you ask not. But then he goes on to say, some do not even obtain when they ask. Why? Because they ask amiss, they may consume it upon their own lust. An evil lust never asks for things that God will grant. The Bible says in Psalm 37 in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. In other words, child of God, if you and I will delight ourselves in the Lord, the desires of our hearts will be purified so that what we ask for will be what pleases and honors God to grant in our lives. Look at verse number 4. Remember, He's speaking to Christians. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Going in a different direction than what God would go. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He talks about that crowd of bad company. That's talking about the world. That can talk of people, but it can also talk about the world's activities. It can talk about sports and entertainment. And can I say there's nothing wrong with sports? There's nothing wrong with entertainment as long as it doesn't take us away from our first love. And that first love is the one who first loved us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says if you spend enough time with that crowd of bad company, then all of a sudden you'll begin to have compassion for that bad company. He talks about the friendship. James is not talking about the casual rubbing shoulders and working beside every day. He's talking about becoming a friend. And then he says if you hang out with that crowd of bad company long enough, and then all of a sudden you'll have compassion for that bad company. And then the end result is there's the contempt in the bad company. He said, whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And may we all, I used to just say this to young people, but the older I get, I believe every one of us ought to be reminded, keeping company with the wrong crowd will always turn our heart against God. Can I say, my friend, you show me your friend, and I will show you your future. You are who you hang out with, or you soon will become that person. And one of the best decisions that I ever made early on in the Christian life was to quit hanging out with that crowd that didn't bring honor and glory to God and get a new set of friends at the house of God that were on the same page spiritually. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5, the Bible says, do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? We find here that James begins to exalt the Word of God. And James is telling this crowd, he said, it's not our job to question the Word of God, but the Bible questions us. He begins to tell them that Scripture always exposes evil. We live in a world today where men try to cover up evil by calling it nice names and by defending it. But Scripture always calls out sin. The world puts a pretty shiny bow on it and calls that crowd gay. But God still says they're sodomites. The world calls alcoholism a disease. But God still says it's drunkenness. The world calls it cohabitation, but God calls it fornication. The world calls it self-expression, but God calls it pride. You say, Brother Dallas, that's pretty narrow-minded. About as narrow as that book right there. So we find that James here, he breaks the chapter into two different parts. First of all, he talks about the defilement of our flesh. And then number two, he gives us some instruction. And he says the only way to overcome the defilement of the flesh is to be devoted to the Father. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Can we be reminded, my friend, if God would kick one of his angels out of heaven because of this awful, wicked sin called pride, what do we think that says to God when his children have pride? A child of God smoking cigarettes and drinking booze and carousing with the heathen is not what made Lucifer the son of the morning into Satan the father of night. It was this wicked sin called pride. And that's why, my friend, if you're here and you're lost and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you better humble yourself before a holy God and realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. Look at verse number 7, laying a foundation. Look at verse number 7. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To be devoted to God, we must submit to God's word and God's will for us, and that's not easy unless we're devoted to God. You say, well, Brother Dallas, don't you understand how powerful the devil is? You mean to tell me that I can just resist the devil and he's going to flee from me? Can I say, dear child of God, in our own energy and in our own efforts, it won't work. But thank God tonight, as a blood-bought child of God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And my friend, you and I can have a victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil because of God. Amen. And then in verse number 8, that brings me to the message. He said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. In other words, if you and I will take one step towards God, God will take one step towards us. If we'll take two steps toward God, God will take two steps towards us. If we'll just take off running towards God, God will take off running towards us. Think about it with me, the story of the prodigal son. That prodigal son went to his father. He demanded his inheritance. The Bible says he took that inheritance out to the far country, which is a picture of the world. He learned very quickly out there in the world that nobody cared for him out there in the world like the father did back at home. The Bible said no man gave unto him. The Bible says that he wasted his substance with all the riotous living, and finally he found himself in that hog pen, and he finally came to himself. You understand, the father never came to the hog pen where the prodigal son was, but the Bible says the prodigal son came to himself, and he said, how many hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I'll go back to the father's house, and I'll make myself as one of thy servants. And as soon as that prodigal son began to draw nigh to the father's house, the Bible says the father saw him a great way off. He ran. He fell on his neck. And can I say tonight, my friend, I don't care how far you are away from God. If you'll draw nigh to God, thank God, he will draw nigh to you. Amen. The ministry of drawing nigh to God. You understand, God desires and God also deserves for us to draw nigh to him. And God's number one purpose for every single one of us is to walk with us and talk with us along life's narrow way. You say, Brother Dallas, I thought God's purpose for me as a Christian was to tell lost sinners about the Lord Jesus Christ. No, there was no sin until Adam fell in the garden. And the reason that God created Adam was to have a people on himself for his pleasure and for his glory. And child of God, you, think about this. My wife, Nikita, for these last 4 years, she doesn't travel me nearly as much as she did the first 11 years that we were married. But I guarantee you, there's not a pulpit that I stand in America or overseas where I don't mention her by name every single service. You know why? Because I love my wife. I communicate with my wife. And I want everybody else to know my love for my wife. And can I say, dear child of God, if you and I are walking with God the way we should walk with God, we're going to want to tell everybody else about the one that we're walking with. Amen. The ministry of drawing nigh to God. Some, maybe a year ago now, I was up on a Wednesday night. I was conducting my addictions outreach. And there was a fellow that came in a few minutes late and hadn't seen him in 6 months worth of meetings. And after the service was over, before we had about 15 or 20 minutes before we went into the main service where preacher was preaching that night. He said, Brother Dallas, he said, do you care if I talk to you for a few minutes? And I said, well, I said, that's all I have is a few minutes. We walked out to my vehicle in the parking lot, and in his words, he said, Brother Dallas, he said, I'm about to lose everything. He said, I haven't, he was a construction worker, and he said, I haven't had any work in months, and as a result of that, I hadn't been able to pay my car note, I hadn't been able to pay my mortgage. He said, I'm about to lose all of that, and he called his wife and kids' names out, and he said, she's about to pack up all their stuff, and she's about to leave. He said, Brother Dallas, he said, I'm about to lose everything. And he said, Brother Dallas, he said, it's almost like God's left me. I said, no, my friend. I said, God didn't leave you. I said, the Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I said, God doesn't leave us. I said, we leave God. I said, if you'll turn right back around, God's right where you left him. Amen. The ministry of drawing nigh to God. I wonder tonight. I just wonder. I wonder who would say, Brother Dallas, I would like to be a part of that ministry. The ministry of drawing nigh to God. How many of us would say that tonight? Well, let me give us some instruction that James gives us here on how to be a part of the ministry of drawing nigh to God. Look at it with me very quickly. Long foundation, very quick message. Look at it with me. He said in verse number 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. First of all, tonight there has to be an appetite of hunger. There has to be an appetite of hunger. There has to be an initiative on our part. And if we'll do our part, God will do his part. Brother, I've heard Brother Angel quote the verse a few times today. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled with his spirit. Filled with his power. And child of God, can I say tonight, don't ever let the devil whisper in your ear that the power of God is just limited to the pastor or an evangelist or a missionary. No, my friend, the same Holy Spirit of God that lives in Brother Angel is the same Holy Spirit of God that lives in you. And he wants to extend his power to each and every one of us. But we have to be hungry and thirsty after the Spirit of God to fill us. As it is natural for man to become thirsty for water, and we truly are thirsty to the point of dehydration, nothing quite satisfies like water. And the Lord compares becoming more like God and his righteousness to a man that is hungry for physical food and for a drink of water. That verse is speaking of a desire. It's not a desire for fame. It's not a desire for fortune. It's not the desire of the satisfying of a fleshly appetite, but it's a spiritual desire. A desire to be holy, a desire to hunger and thirst to become more like God intended for us to become. The Bible, the psalmist said in Psalm 42 and verse number 1, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Can I say this evening, I'm as patriotic as anyone, and there's still a tear that comes to my eye when I put my hand over my heart and I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. But can I say what America needs tonight more than patriots? If God needs what America needs tonight more than patriots is God's people hungry and thirsting after the righteousness of God. I think about the Apostle Paul as he's there in the book of Philippians. He's in a Roman jail cell, been beaten half to death for the gospel's sake. In my mind's eye, I just envisioned the Apostle Paul with the cuts and the bruises all over his body. You understand, Paul's main ambition and Paul's main goal wasn't to be released from the Roman jail cell, but his main ambition and his main goal, I believe, was penned in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, where he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Child of God, can I say I'm thankful for the bus ministry. I'm thankful for the choir ministry. I'm thankful for the ministry of those that clean the church. I'm thankful for all the other ministries of the church. But can I say, my friend, if you and I don't have this ministry, we will not bring honor and glory to God in the other ministries. First of all, there has to be an appetite of hunger. Second of all, look at verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. He said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He then goes on to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Not only, number one, there must be an appetite of hunger, but number two, can I say, if we're going to be a part of this ministry of drawing nigh to God, there's going to have to be an attitude of holiness. He said, cleanse your hands. That has to do with our actions. That has to do with our conduct. That's what we are and who we are when we're by ourselves. That's what we are when we're on the job site and there's no other Christians around. That's what we're listening to when we're in the car and what we're watching at home. That's giving an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Can I say tonight, I'm totally against lifestyle evangelism as a substitute for confrontational one-on-one soul winning. But can I say tonight, dear child of God, it's going to be hard to win that co-worker or that friend to the Lord as long as we're listening to the same worldly music and laughing at the same dirty jokes and cheating the time clock like everyone else. Can I say it's about time we as God's children wake up and say the word Christian is not just going to be my title, but it's going to be my testimony as well. Not only did he say, cleanse your hands, but he said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. That speaks of our affections. Fellowship with God demands our loyal love to God. And God desires and he also deserves for us to be in his presence. And although our relationship as a child of God never changes, our fellowship can be hindered because of sin. As I told you a little while ago, my schedule usually consists of flying out on Saturday and flying back home on Wednesday. I'd say 90% of the time when I get home on Wednesday, Nikita's already gone to the college. If I have time to go by home, I'll go inside the house. And I don't say this because she's here. I would say it even if she wasn't here. In these last 4 years that our ministry has been designed this way, There's never been one time where I've ever walked into a dirty house. I'm talking about the house is spick and span clean. The floors have been vacuumed. There's not one piece of furniture that I can rake my finger on and find any kind of dust. There's not any dirty dishes in the sink. Now, that don't last very long after I get there, I promise you that. But the house is clean. Child of God, may we be reminded, if you're saved by the grace of God, if I'm saved by the grace of God, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And child of God, the Bible says that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Can I say tonight, you have prayer requests just like I have prayer requests, and there's not a one of us that can afford for God to give a deaf ear to our prayer because of sin in our life. I just remodeled my office back at home a couple of years ago. And Nikita went to Hobby Lobby and she bought me a chalkboard. And as I sit at my desk, it sits to the left of me. And every time I'm in my office and studying and preparing and get along with God, I'm always reminded of the statement that she put on that chalkboard. Not only am I convicted, but I'm also compelled when I read it. The statement says this: no man can expect to make progress in holiness who is not often and long with God. An appetite of hunger, an attitude of holiness. Look at verse number 9. James said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. This third point dovetails with number two. But can I say there has to be an affliction in our heart towards sin if we're going to find out what it is to be a part of the ministry of drawing nigh to God. I guarantee you tonight, if I were to ask every blood-bought child of God, how many of us love God? We would all raise our hand and say, I love God. But can I say tonight, if we're going to be a part of the ministry of drawing nigh to God, to the extent that we say we love Him, is also to the extent we must hate our sin as well. Number four, look at it with me. He said in verse number 10, James knew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that we would have such a problem with it that he had to insert in there a second time, just in 10 short verses. He said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Can I say, if you and I are going to be a part of the ministry of drawing nigh to God, there has to be an appetite of hunger. There has to be an attitude of holiness. There has to be an affliction in our heart towards sin. Number four, if we're going to draw nigh to God, there's going to have to be an air of humility. You understand, my friend, if we draw nigh to God and in return God draws nigh to us, we're going to have to do it with humility. I told the young people today, I've read that Bible now. I've been saved for 25 years. I've read it through at least 25 times. There's been many years I've read it through two or three times a year. But can I say, as I read the Bible this morning, I didn't want to go to the Bible with some preconceived idea. I didn't want to skip over that page and say, I already know that. No, my friend, I just want to go to the Bible as a blank piece of paper ready for God to write of my heart. You understand, my friend, if you and I are going to be in the ministry of drawing nigh to God, and we're going to find out what it is to get in the presence of God every single day, it doesn't matter what our last name is. It doesn't matter what we've accomplished. It doesn't matter what position we hold. All that matters is we are the creation, and He is the Creator. We're sinners, but thank God He's the sinless one. We're dirty, but thank God He makes us clean. We're unrighteous, but thank God He imputed His righteousness to our account. There's going to have to be an air of humility. And then lastly, if you and I find out what it is to be a part of this ministry of drawing nigh to God, we have that appetite of hunger. We have that attitude of holiness. We have that affliction in our heart towards sin. We have that air of humility. The more I draw nigh to God, the more He draws nigh to me. And lastly, He'll give answers to help us along life's journey. In this world of crazy and chaotic, with rebels against law enforcement and riots in our cities and Russia wreaking havoc all while the news media's ultimate goal is to cause fear in the hearts of men, I'm glad, as a blood-bought child of God, where I can draw nigh to God, and as a result, He draws nigh to me. I'm thankful He gives me answers along life's journey. And I'm glad I don't have to live in fear, but I can live by faith in God. Stand with me, if you would, all across the building. I guarantee you tonight, those that are in this room, that you're consistent as a part of this ministry of drawing nigh to God. You're consistent to read the Bible. You're consistent to pray. You're consistent to continually walk with God. I guarantee you, if you're already a part of this ministry, you desire to be a little bit closer to Him. And then there's some here tonight. Maybe you go two or three days and you're a part of the ministry of drawing nigh to God, and you fall off a couple more days. My friend, why don't you just find out what it is to be committed to the God that's always committed to you. I was preaching in a church in Houston, Texas, some years ago now. And I was preaching in a meeting like you have here, the Revival Fires, where there were many other preachers preaching. I was sitting that night. And the preacher that got up that night said a very bottom of the shelf, very elementary statement, but boy, how true it is. He said, I've been saved now for 50 years, been preaching the Word of God for the last 35 years. He said, church, he said, you know how I've been able to stay faithful to God these last 50 years and these last 50 years as a Christian, these last 35 years as a preacher? He said, it's not because I'm a great pulpiteer. He said, it's not because I have some magnificent prayer life. He said, it's not because I've got an S stamped on my chest that means super Christian.
He said, the reason I've been able to be faithful to God these last 50 years as a Christian and these last 35 years as a preacher because of three reasons. He said, first of all, learn what it was to read my Bible every day. Second of all, learn what it was to pray every day. And third of all, learn what it was to be at the house of God every time I was supposed to be at the house of God. I understand that's what we teach the junior age kids. But if us big old kids will get a hold of that, we might just know what it is to be a part of the ministry of drawing nigh to God and stay faithful to Him. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed all across the building. I wonder who would say, Brother Dallas, to be completely honest with myself and honest with God that knows everything anyhow, Brother Dallas, I used to be more consistent in that ministry of drawing nigh to God, but Brother Dallas, I haven't been nearly as consistent as I once was, and I sure would appreciate your prayers if you'd pray for me that I'd find out what it is to sign back up to the ministry of drawing nigh to God. I wonder who would say that tonight. Hands lifted. I see hands all across the room. God sees those hands. God sees those hands. There's no better time than present to make that commitment to the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight, and you sure would love to have this fellowship with God that we've talked about. My friend, you don't have a relationship through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you're not reconciled back to God. Maybe you're here tonight, said Brother Dallas, to be completely honest with myself and be honest with God that knows everything anyhow. If I were to take my last breath in the next 5 minutes, I do not know heaven is my home. I sure would like to know that, but I don't know that for 100% sure. Would you please pray for me? If that's your testimony, I wonder maybe just slip up your hand good and high. Say, Brother Dallas, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that heaven would be my home. I'm not sure heaven would be my home. Would you please pray for me? As the pianist begins to play, if God has spoken to your heart somewhere between your pew and this altar, why don't we do business with the Lord? He desires for us to draw nigh to Him. He's such a big God. He already knows what we need before we even ask Him. But you understand, child of God, although He does answer prayer, God never made a way for you and I to access the throne room of grace and to walk with Him to see what we can get out of God, but for to see what God can get out of us, our love and our determination and our dedication to draw nigh to Him. I'm a part of a lot of ministries. You're a part of a lot of ministries. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You're not looking at a super Christian, but there's not a one of those ministries that is as near and dear to my heart as the ministry of drawing nigh to God.